Let's see, put those oats down.
Careful, Shannon done gave you COVID.
Put the feed bag on.
No, I just haven't learned to not choke on my own saliva.
Yeah, I remember saliva.
It's like Will Ferrell when he's choking his own spit.
That's what saliva is. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master Double H, and
Double
as you know, war never changes. Tonight, we're back with an all-new episode of the Modiphius Fallout game that we're playing now. With a Bang or a Whimper is the name of our brief campaign. I hesitate to call it a campaign. It's a one-shot, technically, but you know how one-shots on this show go. They last about 5 or 6 episodes. With me, as always, is our cast. Let's get right into it, beginning first with our resident Brotherhood initiate. Cassidy McGoldrick is played by the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, Mr. Shannon Young.
I keep drinking this whiskey. I'm only going to need one shot. You know what I mean.
Vault Dweller Roxy Luna is played by Lindsay Wolfgong.
Hello, I will try
can
to
I get it backwards?
I'm coughing to a minimum. You did. It's Luna Roxy. It's
Luna Roxy. Why do I have her first name but Shannon's last name written down? I don't know.
Because McGoldrick is just classic.
I don't know.
There we go. I'm just going to write the whole thing in order, and that way I don't mix it up going forward.
Hunter.
Playing.
Hunter.
Our, yeah.
You're going to write the whole thing.
Shannon, that glass of whiskey. Give me that. playing our Mr. Gutsy turned chef turned sociopath is Stephen Bright.
Hello.
I thought he was just going to laugh. And that
I too. Fucking psycho.
And joining us as well, who is soon to actually join us on this adventure, and his first time on the show in a long time in a new house, it's the Kaz Man.
Oh!
Good entry.
Kaz, let me, Shannon, if I may. I'm hitting the blunt so hard, man.
I am here now.
Now, that's the forging.
Throw
of
it back to a classic.
That's the forging of a warrior, Kaz.
Soon,
we've sold
that
books.
That subtitle is still in the. In the subreddit, that's a user flair you can still have in the subreddit.
I hear sales
r/Podzilla 1985. You got to go.
We're revitalizing the community. I hear sales of that particular book have dwindled since we.
I suspect that is correct.
Since we highlighted,
we need to re-promote.
Here's
to release
before
the new
we get
one.
Into the game. Here's a real thing that I wonder if it's the case now. How many issues or like not issues? How many copies of that book exist? And if they sell out, how rare will they be? Like, how hard will it be to get your hands
How hard will
on
it be
what?
To forge a warrior president?
I want it to be someday that someone's listening to one of those old episodes and hears us talking about that and goes, oh, shit, I'm going to buy one
book.
Of those and
yeah.
send them a picture. And then they go on Amazon and it's not there.
It's going for, like, $1,000 because it's so hard to get
And then they're just looking at it going, I should have ordered that.
I should have ordered that book. Hunter, you hear about this shit?
What? No, what?
Apparently, all right, I just saw this and like.
This is a tabletop show, man. What are you doing?
Well,
what
it just surprised me that apparently Britney Spears. Did you hear about Britney Spears?
No.
No.
So her ex-husband, Jason Alexander, not the good one.
Not
the other one. Live streamed himself armed with a knife breaking onto her property to speak to her before her wedding to her new fiance. He did not get to speak to her.
That sounds like he's
not terribly surprised.
He fucking live streamed it too. He's like, all right, hey, this is Jason Alexander. I got this knife. I'm about to break into Britney Spears' property. Make sure you hit the like, subscribe. Because it's gonna be a hell of a
show.
This
is a peaceful protest. That's round 2, January 6th.
Oh, all right. Well, that's enough of that shit. Let's get to the game. So yes. When we left off last week, we had just introduced Chef. Chef had just joined the group and is currently looking for potted plant, his potted plant. I believe that old McDick over there had sampled. You picked that nickname, not me. Had sampled the goods, and between the three of you, you had decided, because of course, you know, we're still investigating the murder of this ghoul couple, or at least we probably know who murdered one of them. The issues that took place on their Tarberry farm. So the mood in day two after the Founders Day celebration in New Freeland, cold and uncomfortable. The weather is starting to turn that way as well. And your mayor, Jesse Pettigrew, has charged you with chatting with people in town and basically seeing if they know anything about Joseph and Teresa's recent behavior, that ghoul couple. So of the main places to investigate, we had settled on the town square, the trade post, and the pub. And I believe you guys said that you would like to visit the pub first. Is that correct?
Yes.
I feel like I've already visited the pub.
Yes, you're ahead of the curve. Okay, so you guys have 4 action points in your pool. I have 3 for the record in the GM pool that I can use if I would like. Let's start. We'll just jump right into it at the pub. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So Cassidy, Luna, and Chef had ambled over, or in Chef's case, hovered over to the town pub, the inside of which, first of all, it's kind of a ramshackle, you know, shack sort of setting, built up with just scrap pieces of wood and metal to the best of their ability, forming a nice little shelter. On the inside, decorated with string lights, there's ancient road signs that have rusted on the corners and such, old decommissioned jukeboxes and some other memorabilia from an America that has died long ago at this point in time. Currently, there are several locals that are gathered around a circular bar toward the center, enjoying some time away from their work or just drowning their sorrows at the bottom of a glass. A single bartender on staff is moving about quickly. You guys have seen this guy around, but may not be very familiar with him. He's an older guy. Think of Lindsay will know exactly what I'm talking about. Belle's dad from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
little guy, you know, not wiry so much, but Geppetto-like in a way. He's got white hair, white beard. He's a little bit older.
A little squirrely,
yeah. He's a little out there. He's moving quickly, engaging in light conversation, just trying to keep up with the demand of thirsty patrons. Other than that, the bar is again, relatively well occupied by locals from about town, and you're welcome to do what you like. What do you guys want to do?
Cassie's going to stomp in there and just with his arm around Chef and loudly yell out, "Who killed the ghouls? Who did it?"
Aren't you supposed to be the charismatic one?
I'm high as a kite, Lindsay. McGoldrick is on that good shit, right, Chef?
Yes, that's what happened.
He's just going out.
Wait, no. Actually, I think, wasn't it that he was coming down at the end there?
You were coming down off of it, yeah, for sure.
All right, then instead, let me backtrack. In fact, that was only one possible future that he saw while coming down. In reality, what he did is he's walking in. He's starting to come down, so he's very, he's kind of slogging. He's walking in. He's rubbing his face. He's slapping himself on the face a little bit, trying to get over it. So I'm going to let Luna, Roxalooney, do the talking.
That's not a good idea.
or let Chef do the talking. That's an even better idea.
As one way or another, as you guys enter, the bartender looks up and brightens up a little bit. You see like a brief, whew, I'm getting overwhelmed, but you know, a bright face and a quick, you know, hello, how you doing? Take a seat wherever you like, kind of thing.
Okay.
Nobody else really acknowledges your presence other than maybe a couple of glances over their shoulders.
Am I still covered in ghoul blood?
No, it was yesterday.
That was a day ago.
Okay.
To rephrase, it was a day ago. That's really your choice as to whether or not you're still covered in ghoul blood.
No. I definitely washed that off.
Okay.
Got that stink off.
Okay.
Okay.
Noted.
Okay. So I'm going to sit down and order a coffee to try to get over this this special treat that I was given.
You're sitting at the bar, like the circular bar?
Yes.
Okay. The bartender will come over and greet you. pub owner, I guess I should say, because he owns the place as well. He can tell you look a little bit out of sorts, and he's a little kind of put off when you don't order an actual drink, but he says, coffee for what ails you, sure. He says it'll be 3 caps. Wait, sorry, coffee. Coffee's 2 caps.
Okay, that is acceptable.
And he'll get you, you know, basic white ceramic mug. It's chipped in places here and there. Nothing's pristine nowadays. He's got an old, like, tin percolator that's brewing up some coffee. Probably mostly just he uses it for himself. So he pours you a cup, you know, a little light chat. How you folks doing today?
McCulloch's just, he's rubbing his forehead. He's like, I have killed so many people.
Yeah. Some guy
that's
from
a
down
great
the bar.
Way to start.
Some guy I'm from going, down the bar pipes I, up and I says, like yeah, to. You and everybody else here, Chief.
I would like to inquire about potted plants.
As the bartender is pouring coffee, he looks over toward you, chef, and of course immediately is a little put off again because he's like, well, I'm not making anything on this guy. Gestures around and says, no plants around here, Chief.
Duly noted.
As best you can tell just by surveying the room, there are indeed no plants, no foliage.
Oh, I've been looking.
I love how polite he is, too. That's my favorite thing. Duly noted.
As they're being their awkward selves, I'm just kind of standing behind where he's sitting and just kind of looking around at what's
being
in the area.
Your own awkward self?
Yes, exactly. I'm being my own awkward self.
As the elder statesman here, I'm going to point at the crowd and just go, ask questions. And they keep sipping coffee. Chef, where do I put the coffee inside of you?
I do not require sustenance.
Oh, that's
if you want to like, if you want to observe without, you know, if you're basically you're just trying to get a read of the room, you will make a perception plus sneak check.
Okay.
So what's your target number for that?
That's what I'm looking at. It's gonna be a 7. It's gonna be a 7.
Gotcha.
Mine's an 8.
So 2d20.
Yep.
See how many successes we have here.
None.
Yikes.
12 and a 13.
Yep. That is indeed what that is. So you definitely think like I am totally not, no one's paying attention to me. I am definitely blending in with the crowd. But here's the problem. You're a pretty imposing figure, right? Because you're in, like, incredible shape.
In a
bright blue and yellow vault jumpsuit. The only person there wearing anything that isn't just, like, trade hardy, you know, stuff. Or the, you know, the Brotherhood gear. Plus, you're with people who are, or not even entirely people. You're with, like, the most, you know, conspicuous group you could be with in there, and you don't even have a drink in hand. In some form or fashion, all eyes are on you. Nobody really looks to you any more suspicious than any other guy. Anybody in here could have been a cutthroat in a past life or in a current one, you know, and just hiding it. So there are people and they are drinking, and this is what you know.
Cassie's going to speak up a little bit and just say, not just the men, but the women and the children. They're animals. So I slaughtered them like animals.
Shut the fuck up, some guy yells from down the bar.
You don't talk to Chef that way!
The bartender now stops pouring, because he's refilled you once, and he says, easy there, big guy. I have none of that in here.
It's been a rough night. Drink.
I help you folks with something other than this?
I'm going to step up to the bar since Cassidy is clearly still out of it and be like, do you know anything about the local ghouls?
Hired ghouls? Sorry, I couldn't resist. The bartender's eyes kind of twinkle a little bit, and he kind of brightens up and says, oh, not just drinks you're here for. It's information, is it? Come to see...
Yes.
Come to see old Lockwood about a little bit of info. Well, isn't that nice? He leans over kind of on the bar on his elbows, props his head up on his chin and says, yeah, maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. What's it to you?
They're dead, you know.
It's just information we need.
Without moving, he casts his eyes over at you, Cassidy, and says, oh, I don't know anything. Seems like you know a lot, though.
Drink.
Luna, he looks back to you and says, I'll tell you what, I got just the thing for you. He goes back to the back bar behind him, which circles around in this circular bar. So he's got all kinds of, you know, bottles, and it's decidedly not like nice. A lot of chipped stuff, a lot of dusty things. And in fact, the bottle he pulls down is clear. It almost doesn't even look like there's any liquid in it. It's so clear, and it is kind of dusty on the outside, but he brushes that away, brushes the cobwebs off, and it's only when he moves it that you can see the ripples on the liquid inside. It's that clear and that, like, fine. Puts it down on the bar between the two of you, roots around underneath, and pulls up a couple of shot glasses, and he says, I tell you what, you look like a game one. You go round for round with me, and every round that you don't slur your words, I'll tell you what I know.
Okay.
That is a good bet.
Okay, so here's how this is going to work. Luna, each shot of this, whatever it is, you could probably guess some kind of shine. Like, it's definitely homemade. Okay. And as soon as he pops the top, by the way, the scent is like if a car battery learned to throw up. That's about what it smells like. Okay. He says, each one of these shots is going to cost you 3 caps. I'll cover my own. But each round you stay up and keep from slurring those words, I'll let a little something loose. Still in?
If Cassidy's not going to stop me, then yeah.
Cassidy's just staring at his coffee cup like it's the most amazing thing he's ever seen. He's wearing off. It's wearing off, but slowly.
Okay, so 3 caps for the first shot.
Okay.
You will then make an endurance plus speech test.
Okay. So it's just going to be a 7.
7 again. All right.
Yep.
2d20s. Let's see how much you can succeed here.
Probably not well. I got a 7 and a 17.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So one of those is a success. So basically, you take that shot and it burns like fire, like hellfire the whole way down. But you feel like you're in your right mind. Ask your question. What do you want to know?
Have you seen any of the ghouls acting weird lately?
Okay. Lockwood, is all you know of his name, takes his own shot, screws up his face a little bit, and says, yeah. Yeah, you're talking about the old man and woman out there at that Tarberry farm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman stopped by here. Matter of fact, she stopped by here pretty regularly for a few days last week, whenever she was finished with her work for the day. She stayed late. She drank a lot. She tipped well. She seemed like she had a lot on her mind. Any more than that'll cost you another drink.
Okay.
Alright, 3 more caps. This is, by the way, he himself kind of like through the haze says, plus tip. You don't have to tip, but he certainly seems to be requesting one.
No.
Okay, and you'll make
Luna
another
doesn't
endurance.
Luna understand the concept of tipping.
You'll make another endurance plus speech test.
Nope. 19 and 16.
All right.
Use an action point.
I mean, technically you could. That'll give you an additional D20 to roll here.
Sure.
That's up to you, though.
Yeah, right. We'll use an action point.
Okay.
Throw one more. And a 10, so no.
You take that second shot, and again, it burns all the way down. But this time, like, not as much as before. And for a split second, you think, I got this. And you open your mouth to speak, and in your head, it's a very eloquent, question. Okay, what about the husband? You know, something like that. Have you seen him? And what Cassidy hears to his left is, whoa. And a second later, a thump. As your head thuds down onto the... And there goes Steven. Well, your head thuds down onto the bar top. Luna has passed out. Lockwood laughs. Got her. Works every time.
Can Cassidy step up to the plate and say, my turn, bitch?
As you turn to do so, the bar, like the pub door... pops open, maybe more definitively than you would have anticipated. It's pretty intense, actually. And through the flooding light that comes through, you hear,
"Hey, Thomas, it's Greg. Greg the Ghoul, your best friend."
No, Greg. Lockwood looks up from the bar and says, "No, Greg, we're not doing this today. I just finished cleaning the bathroom from the last time you were here."
No. That was a misunderstanding. I'll get it running. I'm telling you, I'll get it running.
What? If you've got caps to spend, that's the only way that I'm making this work. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our Fallout game, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Oh.
Hello.
I didn't expect this, and why are they always piney?
So, Greg, as he has identified himself, Greg the Ghoul, stands in the doorway to the town pub, and Cassidy, you and Chef are awake to see all this happening. Luna is passed out, like head on the bar, arms dangling off to the side. The shine got her. It's a little more than perhaps she was anticipating. Greg, for your information, those things that I sent to you, they managed to glean the first bit, not the remaining two. Okay. So, yeah. That's so, I'm going to step aside and let you guys take it from here. Lockwood basically is chastising Greg the whole way in. Greg is not backing down, and pretty much eventually he gives up and says, "All right, fine. If you got caps to pin, that's fine, but you better drink and don't touch anything."
No, hands off. Hands off everything.
Greg, you see a vault-dwelling woman, like presumably anyway, at some point she's wearing a vault jumpsuit, passed out at the bar, sitting beside a Brotherhood initiate who is nursing a cup of coffee like it is an actual child.
That's true.
And Mr. Gutsy is hovering in their immediate vicinity. He has a tiny little chef's hat perched on one of his eye stalks.
I like your hat, fella.
Thank you. Do you know anything about potted plant?
No, but I would love to learn.
Oh, it is the most beautiful thing. It will be the destroyer of humanity.
What in the hell is happening? Drink.
I like his hat. I'm Greg. I'm Greg the Ghoul.
Greg, you're welcome to describe yourself to them. I didn't want to do that for you.
Just generic ghoul.
Yeah,
I didn't really know what I'm going to. I'm not going to lie, because I am not familiar with the Fallout lore. Like, there's really nothing that remarkable about him. Maybe
on the description that you gave me in terms of like clothes, I would think he's probably wearing like coveralls of some kind or some kind of overall jumpsuit sort of mechanic looking thing. He's got places for like little tools, little pockets. They may or may not be occupied. And then, yeah, I mean, beyond that, most ghouls pretty much look the same. It's about attire. So physically, he looks like a male ghoul. That's what I got.
He's a zombie. Also,
well,
as a side note, Hunter said last week or at some point last week that he had another player jumping in, and Lindsay and I were taking bets today about who it would be, and I did not expect Asa Gray. So
yes, Yes. When Kaz jumped in, I was like, oh, they're going to think I got Kaz's stuff all settled out. And that's Because I was like, oh, I don't know if Kaz is even going to get to play. Yeah, there you go. There's your ghoul. Yes. Yes. Surprise. So
I thought it was going to be Sarah originally. And
she... Technically, she's here. She is asleep behind me.
Yes.
Is what's happening there.
Well, Cassie, realizing that there's another ghoul in the building, is going to look at said ghoul and ask him about the other ghouls. Do you know anything about the two ghouls that live on the outskirts of town?
Teresa and Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah, they're my best friends.
I have some bad news. I shot one of them.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Well, because he stabbed her with a pitchfork and killed her. I'm sorry, I'm coming down.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound like him. You sure? You sure that was Joseph?
No, it was not Joseph. What I understand, I'm gonna shake Luna. Like, will you wake up? We got we got somebody here we could talk to. Chef, you got anything that can wake her up?
Luna is both pleasantly and unpleasantly snoring, depending on the second that goes by.
Luna is off the bar after being shaken.
What's that?
It's either very like very calm or just like the worst.
Chef, do you have like smelling salts or something we can use on this one?
That was all that I had. I was able to carry with me from my last location.
I'm going to look at the bartender and ask him, like, you have anything that can wake this up? And I'm going to poke her in the head.
Oh, you asked the bartender. Sorry.
Yes.
Lockwood is still, like keeping a wary eye on Greg sitting at the bar. Eventually, he says, she played the game and lost, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
I'm going to...
spin around and look at Greg here. Okay. So what do you know about Teresa and Lewis?
Joseph?
Yeah.
Or is it Lewis? Do I know Lewis? I think Lewis is my friend.
Okay, Chef, I don't think this was playing with a full deck.
I saw Joseph. He was here a couple nights ago.
What was he doing?
He was acting weird. He didn't really know where he was. I tried to talk to him other than, you know, I was doing Thomas a favor and I was working on his bathroom and it was going great. But Joseph was here and he was acting weird. He acted like he didn't know where he was. He acted like he didn't know me. He acted like, oh, old Doc, him and Doc got into a real bad fight. And then he just, he took a chunk out of Doc and then he just ran off.
Wait, who's Doc?
At the mention that you were working on the bathroom and it was going great, from down the bar, Thomas Lockwood, the bartender, goes, "It was not," and continues serving the other patrons.
He's kidding. You don't pay old Thomas no mind.
I don't. Now tell me more about Doc.
Just the doctor that was here. The doctor from camp. The doctor.
Is his name Doc or is his occupation Doc?
I call him Doc because he's my best friend.
Cassidy, you would know that there is a clinic. There is a medical clinic in New Freeland. You may not know specifically who runs it or anything like that, but if he's referencing a doctor, he's probably talking about somebody there.
Oh, Doc, he says as he points at the metal plate over his eye now after the ghoul almost shot his face off. Yeah, he gave me this. Well, what were they arguing about?
I couldn't hear. I don't know. They just, it sounded heated though, but you know, I think they were both just kind of grumpy. Cause even the last couple days, Doc wasn't really acting himself either.
What was Doc doing?
Same as a handful of folk. Just they're around and you know, they just kind of seem cranky. They kind of not really themselves.
Lockwood from down the bar starts making his way back and he says, "It's that flu or that fever or whatever it is. Something real nasty. Been getting to a lot of folk around here. Wait. Ain't no good when it gets to the doctor, though. That's especially bad news."
Wait, what flu? What are you talking about?
Lots of folks been getting sick around here. I don't know what to tell you more than the flu.
And who's going to get sick if not Doc? Because all the sick people go see Doc.
Maybe we should go see Doc. Hey, Greg.
You want to go see? Yeah, I'm Greg. I'm Greg.
Why don't you go see Doc with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I love making friends.
All right.
She gonna be okay, though?
Wake up!
Luna finally starts to rouse. No. Your coffee cup gets near enough to her that it's like right underneath her nose. And that's enough to at least get her to stir a little bit.
Are we still here?
Yeah, we're gonna go see the doc, princess.
What's a princess?
Princess?
Oh my god. Chef, you're officially the only one here that makes any sense.
I look over to Cassidy and I have a question for him. Do you think this doc will know where Potted Plant is?
Never mind, I take back what I said. I am the only one here with any common goddamn sense. All right, guys, let's go.
As you go to pay for your coffee, the moonshine's already paid for, or whatever is in that bottle. But as you go to pay for the coffee, Lockwood says, no, if you're getting that one out of here, he jerks his thumb at Greg. This one's on the house. This one's on me there, partner.
I will take you up on that deal, sir.
As we leave, I turn, or are we leaving now?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, so I'm gonna stumble after you guys if you are, so.
Yes.
As we're going out the door, I look over my shoulder. All right, Thomas, I'll be back to take care of all that, I promise. I'm going to go with my best friends right now.
Please do not. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so exiting the pub will put you all back out into the town square. There are, as before, any number of locals kind of gathering around. There's like some flowery grasses. Nothing is really like landscaped in the traditional sense, but you know, the Geck did pretty good work out here. So people sitting along the edge of what was an old like water fountain that has, you know, been re-rigged to work properly and chatting. But again, winter is coming. Winter is basically here. And so the square in general is less busy than usual. There are a handful of people you may or may not recognize kind of hustling and bustling through on their daily business. You still have people there to talk to. The trade post is an option. Or, again, you could also go to the clinic as well.
I'm going to smack Luna around a little bit in a nice way. Just kind of a little smack to her face to say, are you awake? Are you back?
I'm going to pull a knife on you when you smack me in the face.
I'll take that as a yes. Cool. Why don't you take Chef and talk to the people around here. I'm gonna take this weird ass ghoul and take him over to the docks and try to find out what they were arguing about.
Do you want me to talk to the people with Chef?
I think he's good for it. Chef, you good to talk to some people around here?
Depends. Do they know anything about Potted Plant?
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, we'll find out, great. Chef.
Come on, Greg. We're going to go talk to Doc.
All right. All right. Yeah, I love Doc.
He's your best friend, right? From what I've heard.
He's my best friend.
So we're going to split for a second here. I'm going to follow Luna and Chef first. Again, there are sort of just an amalgamation of locals that are kind of hustling and bustling through the town square. Is there anyone in particular you want to try to pick out? You want to just grab a handful of people and do like a Star Wars style gather information? What's the goal here?
First off, I'm going to put my switchblade back away because it's inappropriate to walk around with it.
Yes.
And I'm just going to make my way to the closest person we see.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll tag along, I guess.
Roll a die.
That would be helpful, Steven.
There's a guy nearby who was unloading some vegetation from one of the nearby farms into a stall to sell as like a farmer's market, kind of an informal sort of thing. Young guy in his 20s. Yeah. He's unloading all the classics, the mute fruit, the potatoes, all that kind of stuff. He's just got like sacks of them, and he's trying to kind of arrange them in this stall.
I'm going to walk over and say, excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Make a charisma plus speech test.
Oh, this is gonna be bad. Okay, so I gotta get a 4 or less.
Oh god.
Okay.
Oh.
I got a 2.
Oh,
nice.
Clutch.
Okay. I got a 2 and a 9.
whether intentional or not, it might be just like the little sleepiness of the, you know, tousled hair or whatever, but like you're like trying to put yourself together and it's got this guy's attention. Like he's like, oh, what is this? What's happening here?
Maybe he's
he's invested in what's happening. So if you have questions, he looks willing to answer them. Basically, the way this is going to work is you can spend as many action points as you want for additional pieces of information. You get one for succeeding one, and you can spend action points to get more than that. I can tell you if you're maxed out, basically, but I can't tell you how many there are.
Okay, I'm just going to stick with the one for now because I don't know what that one wants to do.
Okay. In asking him basic questions, what's your goal? Mainly just to see, like, if he knows anything about the ghoul couple, just in general?
Yes, because I was obviously passed out during the other part and don't know anything about the flu, so.
Got it. Okay. So he, being somebody who works in the market and clearly sells his own goods, says that Joseph hasn't been seen there in several weeks now. Though he has been in and around town, he hasn't been at the market selling his goods like he normally does. Teresa has been carrying the goods herself. She claimed that Joseph was not feeling well, and more specifically, has not been feeling himself lately. And he actually is, or was, worried about them until, of course, he heard the news that something had gone bad, or at least he heard the rumor that something had gone poorly, but he doesn't say any more than that. He kind of clams up at the word rumor.
Okay, thank you for your information. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. The whole time he's been like slinging sacks of vegetables and such.
I'm going to turn to Luna and ask if I can ask about potted plant now.
Sure, go for it.
I approach the man from behind and inquire, ask if I can ask him a question.
Oh, he jumps at the first the sound of you and then the sight of you, but continues his work and is a little less steady, but says, yeah, sure, buddy, what do you need?
I also have heard there is a flu going around, a fever, and I was wondering if there was any sort of chance that vegetation might be affected by this disease.
Ooh, you'll also make a charisma plus speech test.
Charisma plus speech.
So here's, Stephen, how that works is you will add zero. Those two. So okay, so you got it. Yeah, your
you
target number is four.
So
yeah, 2d20s, you want to get four or under on at least one of them.
Okay. 2d20s.
Yes, we want small numbers in this game.
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
Hey,
I got
look at that.
That.
One of those. So when you roll a one, that is a critical success in this game.
Yes.
So you succeeded plus, you know, a little something extra, basically. The guy looks past you and at Luna and then at you again and kind of realizes, oh, these two things are linked and maybe this will, like, you know, get me in more. So he leans over and he says, look, and now he's kind of like got you both close so he can tell you. He says, I didn't start it and I don't like to tell rumors, but what most people are saying is that Joseph went feral, right? And Teresa was keeping him locked up there so nobody found out. A lot of the normal folks around here, he points at himself and Luna, like you and me, a little concerned that the other ghouls are going to start going off the reservation, if you know what I mean. So the takeaway from this is the undercurrent is that it's not so much a flu as it is maybe ghouls are going to start being a problem in general and that these aren't the only ones that have done this. Yeah.
Okay, well, those two are dead, so they're not going to be a problem. But thanks for the info.
His jaw doesn't really drop so much as he's just kind of like, wait, what? As you walk away. Taken aback by that, and it's just bye.
Should have asked about potted plant.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll ask the next person about potted plant.
Do you think they'll know?
They might.
Okay.
I'm gonna cut back over now to Cassidy and Greg. You guys are going to the clinic. Yes.
Yeah. Talk to Doc.
Okay. So, obviously, walking into the clinic is not any big venture because it is open to the public. It has a sterile, for, you know, the setting. Sitting room, flanked by a door on one side, a long hallway that leads to four curtained rooms on the other. There is a desk when you come in, but there's nobody sitting at it, like a reception desk. Nobody's sitting on the other side. You do, however, hear what sounds like crying, maybe? Somewhere out at the back hallway at the end of that long examination room hallway.
Okay. I'm going to tell Greg, stay here for a second. I'm going to go figure out what that crying is. That might not be good.
Okay.
You're very agreeable, aren't you?
I suppose so.
You think we could be best friends one day?
We already are. You brought me to Doc's.
Turn around slowly and just mouth the words, "Oh my God." And then head towards the sound of crying.
Okay, so you're going to be going down this this hallway with the four examination rooms. Do you want to investigate any of them, or are you just straight shooting for the end to head out back?
I'm heading straight out back. I've got my hand on my gun. I don't have it drawn, but I have my hand on my gun just in case. I also don't know if Greg's actually following me because he ignored my words or if he stayed behind. So I have no idea.
That's a good question, Greg. What are you doing while Cassidy heads off?
He seems like he's got things handled. I'm gonna stay right here.
Okay. So you're standing in the open reception room. Cassidy, gun drawn, making your way through the examination hallway.
Hand on my gun, not drawn.
Oh, got it. Yeah, got it. Okay. I misunderstood. The examination room curtains are drawn, so you don't see or hear anyone in those areas. And by the time you reach the end of the hallway, you see that there is nobody following you or anything like that. There is a door that is slightly ajar that leads out to the back of the clinic. The clinic's like a long, almost like a trailer, basically. So there is a door slightly ajar. You can't really see very well out of it, but the sound of that, like, crying has gotten a little bit louder. It's masculine, for the record. It's a deeper voice.
All right, I'm gonna go through that door slowly, kind of slowly push it open.
Okay.
Can I still see him? I know he went down a hallway, but I can still see like which door he's going through and stuff.
Yeah, you can see he's going through the door at the end of the hallway. Okay. Yeah. Yep. However, once he's through it, you can't because he's slipping through. Exactly.
Okay. So as I open up the door, I slowly open it. I turn back and look at Greg, and I imagine Greg just looks and like waves and thumbs up, and I kind of give a slight smile and a thumbs up back to him, and I keep going.
Cassidy, as you step like right to the outside, there's like a back porch basically to the clinic. The town doctor, somebody you've seen around here and about.
He gave me this eye.
Probably, yeah. Well, yeah. You've met it with the main guy who runs the clinic. Probably in his 40s, dark, kind of salt and pepper hair, starting to get that way. He is kneeling over, like, on the deck, and he is now, like, crying hard. He's almost sobbing, and he's clutching what looks like a clipboard to his chest. He's kind of facing away from you, though, so he doesn't seem to notice your approach.
I'm still cautious. Still got my hand kind of on my gun, but I'm going to kind of call out to him and say, "What's up, Doc?"
He jumps and he turns, trying to compose himself a little bit. You, Cassidy, you would swear this guy hasn't slept in days. It's designer bags under the eyes. They're red and raw from the upsetness. He looks exhausted. And the only thing he says is, "Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone."
I don't think I can do that, Doc. I'm sorry. I heard you were arguing with a ghoul the other day, and that ghoul's dead now. So I need to know what you were arguing about.
Okay, if you want to get him to talk, you're going to need to make a check. It's going to be speech plus either your charisma or intelligence, whichever you prefer, whichever's better.
Oh, it's definitely going to be charisma. I pumped into charisma, baby. All right,
charisma and speech.
So that's an 11.
All right, so you need an 11 or better on one of these 2d20s.
I forget how to do it. Is it roll 1d20 times 2?
I just rolled 2d20.
Yeah, 2d20 or just hit the d20 twice, whichever one.
All right, here we go. I need under 11. I had 11 and a 17.
Okay, so that's a single success. What specifically are you saying to the doctor at this point?
I had heard through the grapevine, I'm not going to mention Greg off the bat if I don't have to, that he had a altercation with Thomas, and Thomas went crazy and killed his wife, and I need to know what they were arguing about.
Okay. Getting him to calm down is enough, seemingly, to get him to open up a little bit. So at the mention that something's been going on with that couple, he stops, he sighs, and he says, look, Joseph was the first patient that I treated that showed any symptoms of memory loss or irrational behavior. He goes on to explain that over the past few days, he's been dealing with at least a dozen other cases of very similar stuff. Memory loss, some have led to full-on psychotic breaks. There have obviously been disappearances, even death, some of which have resulted because or have been the result of suicide. But murder is not out of the question as well. Things are getting out of hand, basically. Beyond that, he doesn't look like he wants to speak anymore. However, you can spend any number of action points you would like to see if you can get him to open up more.
We got three left.
I would like to spend an action point and ask him, is this just the ghouls or is this other people too?
Oh, actually, you guys have four left because Steven hit a critical.
Chef
hit a critical. So
you're welcome.
You're down to three if you're spending one now. Sorry, what'd you ask him?
That's critical chef, or as we like to call it in the business, maximum president. I'm going to ask him if this is ghoul related, because the rumors around town is that the ghoul, it's ghoul specific, or is this other people too? Are these human beings also being affected?
The doctor says originally he thought that the memory loss was viral in nature because of the exponentially increasing rate over the past few weeks, and it was affecting any and everyone, so he didn't think it was specifically ghoul-related. But now he has some more pertinent information. He shows you the clipboard where he says, I think it has to do with our cold fusion power generator. The town is powered by this cold fusion generator, and he thinks that there is a side effect resulting as of the use of it, because it only went into use starting about a month ago. Up to that, they've been running on gas generators and such, and somebody managed to get this one up and running, and he thinks it might have something to do with that.
Can I still ask some questions, or do I need to spend more action points?
Any more will require an action point.
Okay, I'm going to take off at that and say, thank you, Doc, and, stop crying and walk away.
he as you start to leave, the doctor kind of mumbles a couple times. You see him shake his head and he goes, damn, what was I doing? Can't remember. And he gets up and literally just wanders away in an indiscriminate or in an indeterminate direction.
Do I see that, or is that behind me?
Yeah, you can watch as much of that as you like. At the very least, you hear it.
Okay.
Whether that prompts you to turn around or not is up to you.
I'm going
to
turn around and look and just kind of get a leery eye, like I'm concerned about that. And then I'm going to go find Greg and say, good news, Greg. Have you met the mayor?
Oh, no. I've heard he's great, though.
Oh, we're going to go talk to the mayor. You excited?
I'm so excited to meet the mayor.
All right. And then we're going to bail.
Okay.
Right, like it's completely feasible that just me kind of being on the outskirts of the settlement, like I wouldn't have actually like met the mayor yet.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
As the four of you sort of end up making your way in the same direction, kind of regrouping in the town square, before you have much of a chance to say anything to each other, you see that the mayor, who you just mentioned, Jesse Pettigrew, is actually making his way into the town square as well. And other folks are starting to clear out. The mayor's got several townsfolk with him. Neighbors, friends, to those of you who have been here longer. A handful, at least enough to match your numbers. And they look almost emotionless. They've also got guns in their hands.
Of course.
Oh, goody!
Pettigrew steps forward. Cassidy kind of meets you as de facto leaders of the group, looks at you, tilts his head slightly to the left, and in the weirdest little kind of whispering voice you've ever heard, not his normal voice, says, come on, snakes, let's rattle. in perfect unison, they all raise their weapons and aim them at the four of you. And that is where
we're at. Son of a bitch. Oh. I knew it.
Uh-oh.
That's it. That's all I'm giving you for now.
Can I make one last thing? Just real quick. So I'm assuming we all hear him say that.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Mayor, it is an honor.
This very tense situation between the two of them and Cassidy, and Greg's head just pops up in between like a cartoon character. I love it.
Shit.
They help me, I love it.
Shit. Fade to black.
All right. Oh, God damn. Guys, as always.
I know what I'm going to do. I know. Next thing, remind me in case I forget. So, next episode we do, whenever they raise their guns, Cassidy's going to look around and go, oh, my God. Very Wyatt Earp style.
No. Guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on PZ85 Plays. We got a lot of other good stuff coming your way this week. Shannon, tell them what's coming up.
Well, sir, we've got an all new What's Tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Hey, we got an all new Pro Wrestling Unscripted tomorrow with myself and Hunter. We got a lot to talk about. I know Ace is on here right now, so we're going to be talking about Jeff Hardy, of course. We're going to be talking about Tony Khan. We're going to be talking about MVP and Chris Jericho. See, Ace, so what we like to do on Pro Wrestling Unscripted now is take all of the horrible things and just talk about them. We leave the positivity to nerdiest part
with
of the
ring. With the light, there must be darkness.
Yes.
We also talk about the bad stuff.
Yeah, but we focus
on it.
Hate
it. Yeah.
We won't.
We're extremely toxic.
We won't this week because no episode for us this week.
Yes, because Asa is going on vacation.
Well deserved.
Yeah. And let me just say what a joy it has been in the past week to have Asa and Dalton and Steven and Ethan come back to the show after so long.
Kaz coming back.
Oh, it really warms my heart because I miss you guys so much. Yes. And we're always so much better together. Thursday, we've got an all new After Dark. Lindsay's definitely got a top five because I'm not picking it this time.
I'll come up with something.
She's just grinning.
And then Friday, it's horse time once again with me and Kaz and others. We'll see. Asa joined us on horse time last week, but he'll be on vacation.
I'm surprised you didn't look at me and go, "You got phones, don't you?
You got a phone, Hunter.
I do have a phone, so
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll ride up. And then next week, do it all again next week.
Yeah, we're back at it next Tuesday. Another edition, another installment of our Modifius Fallout game with a bang or a whimper coming your way on PZ85 Plays. Until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Asa, for Steven, for Kaz as well, I am your Game Master Double H. And come on, snakes, let's rattle. Later.